Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The final hour of the Rob Brown Show goes now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the Great Malonzo, Andy, you're rolling through the four most electrifying hours in sports talk entertainment you'll find anywhere this early in the morning. Let's do a little cleanup spot. Look through a couple of texts that you guys have sent so far this AM on the radio show. The phone lines are open for you, 844-326-3663. You can call that number, get on the air. You can text that number. I will read and react to those texts. Here are a few of them. Tolo J. Butane texted the show. He said, stuck here in the car line. Ravens won their first of 11 straight to finish 12-5. You heard it here first. We will find out, of course. The Ravens did get back into the W column yesterday. They have been in a bit of a slide since the loss of Lamar Jackson, dating back to that L to the Kansas City Chiefs a few weeks ago. Had been waiting to see what the Ravens would do without him, and more importantly, when the Ravens would get him back. They do knock off the Chicago Bears. 30-16 is your final in this one. Baltimore led 10-6 at the half behind Tyler Huntley. 17 of 22, a buck 86, and a tutty. Derrick Henry, 21 carries, 71 yards. Two ground touchdowns, however. On the flip side, again, not an awful day, but not a great day for Caleb Williams. 25 of 38, 285, no touches, one interception. Chicago couldn't get anybody going on the ground. 45 yards for DeAndre Swift. Williams had 24 on three carries. Chicago's got to find some level of consistency and a balanced attack. As far as the Ravens go, just give it to Derrick Henry a bunch. I don't know how that's confusing for that football team. Jay Butane, we will find out. Texter said, Briscoe is the NASCAR Group of Five representative if this is the NCAA playoffs. That's fair. Chase Briscoe getting in, interesting. We do have, as mentioned earlier in the show, our final four is set for the NASCAR postseason championship next weekend at Phoenix. William Byron gets in with the win this past weekend at Martinsville. We'll talk more about that as we get closer to the championship race this weekend because I love NASCAR. And we brought up the segment earlier in the show. What can NASCAR do? Because this past weekend should have been one of the most compelling races on the calendar with effectively six guys competing for two spots. Two of them win to get in scenarios, and one of them was able to by upending the other one. Should have been the most compelling thing to happen in NASCAR in a very long time. And I realized, even as a NASCAR fan who is checked in, I had that race on the smallest screen in my house because it kind of was what it was. So we'll get to that here in just a little while. We've got a text. Spike texted the show, said Brian Kelly makes people feel better about Dabo Swinney and Shane Beamer. It's not unfair. Because I will say this, regardless of the conversation about football, regardless of the conversation about results, regardless of the conversation about trophies or lack thereof, at least you can say, if you are Clemson or South Carolina, our coach is in a total and complete butthole. And I mean, I think that's a win in the grand scheme of things, you know? I think it's a win. Texas said, I have, there it goes. Buckeye Mike, Texas show. Said, I have told both of you and Cole and Diesel that Brian Kelly was the new version of Jimbo Fisher. Overrated coach, just like the conference. Good thing Lane is super loyal. Just ask Tennessee is another text we got a few minutes ago. Yeah, the Tennessee thing was interesting. And I got to tell you, I still haven't gotten a chance to sit down and watch it yet. But I do want to watch the Lane Kiffin 30 for 30. He tells a story. Look, I went back. I actually had the conversation about this weekend when I was in a conversation about Lane Kiffin with a dear friend of mine who is a Florida fan. I get it. I get the hate on Lane Kiffin. I do. He's a polarizing type of dude. You either love Joey Freshwater or you hate Lane Kiffin, and there's no way in between. I love Joey Freshwater. I find him entertaining as hell. I, at the time, I think was pretty mad at him about the Tennessee thing, but as time has gone by, I'm less mad about it now because I get it, right? Like, the dude got offered a job that he made clear was his dream job. He got offered a job that was made clear it was his dream job at USC. And those are the types of jobs that you get offered one time. Because even if it was to come again open 2, 4, 6, 8 years later, the reality is people in positions of power like that are going to look and say, you know, screw that guy. Like, we gave him the opportunity and he said no, which tells us he said Tennessee was better. Screw that guy. I get it. I get why he left Tennessee. I get why he went against his word when he said, I'm here forever, and took the USC job. Dream job. Like, did he handle it the right way? Probably not. Do I fault the decision? No, not really. Not really. Now, I don't know that Lane Kiffin has expressed, you know, end of my career loyalty to Ole Miss. And again, even if he has, if Florida is planning on making Lane Kiffin the highest paid head coach in college football, could you really fault him? I've said a lot of times, like, I am loyal to a fault to this radio station. But at the end of the day, there will come a point in time. Who knows when it will be. But there will come a point in time where I will have to make a decision about my future. And it will be 1,000% financially driven. And, you know, I hope it's like Lane Kiffin, where it's somebody called me and offered me to make me the highest paid radio dude in America. That's unlikely. But, like, if it was, I would say, I promise you I'd be here a long time. I have been here a long time, but these people want to pay me a stupid amount of money to do something that I think I'm pretty good at. So I got to go. I love you all. I'll come back and visit, but I got to go. Texas said, I always think it is funny when everyone slobbers all around Lane Kiffin, who didn't win at Tennessee, USC, or Ole Miss. I mean, he wins, but nothing meaningful. That is also from Buckeye Mike. Mike, again, like, I get it. But I would also say, do you not feel, even with the smack talk, and I don't know if you saw the smack talk after the game against Oklahoma, Lane Kiffin, as he walked off the field, and I know a lot of you look negatively upon this. I was like, okay, I get it. Lane Kiffin, when he was leaving the field and doing his post-game interview, started saying to, I forget the young lady that was doing the interview on the field, but he started saying, yeah, it's a lot quieter. I don't hear them chirping that much now. And as he was doing that, a cat by the a cat wearing number 0 for Oklahoma came over to, like, dap him up and say good game. And he's like, yeah, this guy right here kept talking to me all game, telling me how we weren't going to score on their defense. I don't hear a lot of talk now. Pretty classic smack talk. And there were a lot of people who were like, oh, Lane, like, you're a college coach and he's a college player. You shouldn't be talking to the kid that way.
How can he be talking to a kid that way?
Yeah. Like I said, you start making good ass money in NIL, you're going to get treated like an adult. If you chirp at Lane and then Lane hangs a bunch of points on your ass, you better believe Lane going to chirp back. I have zero problems with it. None. Not a nine. None at all. Issues. Have at it, Joey Freshwater. If the kid's chirping you up, chirping back. I'm good with that. My favorite thing was in the post game.
As long as it's not lame. I mean, if it's lame.
Yeah, I mean, be fun. But I mean, look, to say that while the kid's right there next to you, hey, at least he had the rocks to do it, right? Now, we did go into the press conference and somebody was like, hey, and I forget the guy's name, but he's like, this kid, you know, you talked about him. You good with that? And he's like, who's that? Number 0? Like, he didn't even give the kid his name. He just got told what his name was. And he's like, no, number 0. I got no problem with it. I think, however, And I said this, I had this concern a couple of weeks ago when Ole Miss lost their only game to Alabama. I said, or to Georgia, pardon me. I said, look, my only concern is, will Lane Kiffin regress to Tennessee Lane? Will he regress to USC Lane? And the reason I said all of that was because there were points in his past where Lane Kiffin, I think, let his ego get out ahead of himself as a head coach. I think he's matured past that, and I think you're seeing that. He's made some tough decisions with that football team, including switching and staying switched at his quarterback spot. And he's rolled out the next guy, and they rolled with it. I think Lane Kiffin is a more mature version of Joey Freshwater, but you're always going to have Lane at his core. That's just who he is. And I will tell you, there are some schools I don't think that would fit in with. I don't think Lane Kiffin would fit in at Penn State. Like, that's not, they're not a jokey, ha-ha fun school. They're a blue-collar, lunch-pail working man. We don't like to joke around the coal mines type of guy. You know where Lane Kiffin would fit in great? Florida. A school that, like, is just loosey-goosey fun all the time. I think he'd fit in great. You know where else Lane Kiffin fits in great? Ole Miss, where he just gets to run the place. And I think if Lane's going to be successful, he's got to run the place. And Lane, like, Ole Miss is going to let him do whatever. That being said, if Florida comes a call in and they say $16.5 million per year annually with a $80 million buyout, you gonna fault him if he goes? No, of course not. Now, you might dunk on Florida and say you're paying more money to a head coach that's never won anything than anybody's ever paid to a head coach before. But with what's been going on with Florida right now, do you blame him for rolling the dice? I can't. Let's see. Texas says, 2 minutes away from getting to listen to you eat crow, but South Carolina failed, so today will suck as usual. That's from Dewey. Dewey, welcome back. I ate my crow back in hour number one, and I will do it again now.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
That's what you consider
no.
You did?
I did not choke on a crow like you wanted me to, but for a dude who takes great pride in knowing ball, yeah, I ate my crow. Here's my crow, Dewey. I'll go ahead and be wrong now just for you, Dewey, just for you. On Friday, I said to South Carolina fans, find something better to do with your time on Saturday. Don't watch this game because I think Alabama's going to dog walk you in your old stadium. I think you're going to get absolutely devastated. My favorite five-star bet of the weekend, and a bet that I did make, was Bama minus 11.5 on the road at South Carolina. In fact, I said to a number of people, that's my five-star lock of the week. Got it wrong. Bama wins by 7, and it took them all four quarters to make that happen. But to just say that and to ignore the other 11 minutes of that segment where I said, if you want to make it a game, here's the list of things that have to happen. I gave you a list of them. Number one, don't expect that your offensive line is just going to win a 1v1v1v1v1 straight five block set. It's not going to happen. You're going to have to get creative with your blocking schemes. You're going to have to throw stuff that you have not thrown at anybody else at Alabama to keep it close. Guess what they did? That's what they did. In fact, I even pulled a play out on the air. Third quarter, spot. Wide receiver in the slot on the right comes over to the left, gets out way past wide of the defensive end, and then sets as if he's going to run a little out route to pull the quarterback up. Soon as Lenoris takes the snap out of the shotgun, the wide receiver cracks down on the defensive end to hem him in so he can't set the edge. The tackle pulls around the blocking wide receiver to get up to the second level to take out the linebacker. Now it is a receiver and Lenoris on the option. If the quarterback dives up to take away the run, Lenoris has just got to drop it over his head. If the quarterback stays back to defend the wide receiver, Lenoris could just take off running. And he did, and it worked. We saw how many plays where a slot wide receiver motioned in, and he set up as a blocking back off the guard or off the tackle, and they were doing all sorts of creative stuff. I said, you've got to come up with better creative blocking schemes that are exotic and wild to keep Alabama off base. They did that. Number two, you've got to run Lenoris Sellers. Not as an emergency last option. It's got to be a design for him. Whether it's designed into the pass play or just design runs or whatever. He ran 18 times. And I would say about a dozen of those minimum were not scrambles. They were designed. Either designed RPOs, individual QB RPOs, or designed straight up design runs. They did that thing. I said on defense, your edge has to pin Ty Simpson into the pocket. Do not let him get outside wide of the tackle. If he does, you're cooked. Because he can throw on the run, not as well as, but close, to Lenore's. If you let Ty Simpson get the edge, he'll cook you. And he did. And then the last thing I said was, you've got to play perfect. And I don't mean perfect as in not missing a play. I mean perfect as in if Bama drops an opportunity into the breadbasket, you have to take advantage of it. You have to. You have to. Because if you don't and you give them multiple opportunities and second chances, they're going to get you. Well, go back and look at that game. I know off the top of my head, I know of three dropped interceptions. Three. Like, should have been picks. Not like, oh, it would have been a spectacular play. I mean, one in the end zone for sure, and one with Alabama coming out from the shadow of their own goalpost, where two defensive backs jumped into each other and cost you a pick. In fact, at one point, Jesse Palmer was on color for that game, and at one point, the one in the end zone, Palmer said, that's another missed opportunity. That's the second or third time that South Carolina could have had a turnover and they took it away from themselves. Now, again, it's not easy. It's going to happen, especially when there's a ball, one receiver, two DBs, everybody trying to make a play. It's going to get pinged around a little bit. But there were at least three, maybe four spots where South Carolina could have come up with a pick that would have changed the game. I genuinely think if one of those goes the other way, you win the game. If two of those go the other way, I know you win the game. If three of those go the other way, you blow them out, and we're all coming in here going, damn, Cocktober Surprise was fun. Not a doubt. But you missed it. And that's what I meant when I said you have to be perfect to win this game. You got the offensive line and the blocking schemes right. You took advantage of all of the weapons that Lenore Sellers offers as your quarterback. You set the edge and kept Ty Simpson largely pinned inside of the corners and never really let Jam Miller get comfortable. The only thing that you did not do was play flawless football when Alabama made a mistake. Not flawless football, period, end of discussion, just when Bama made mistakes. They made three or four that should have been turnovers. You didn't get any of them. At the end of the day, I was wrong because I said, I don't see how. In week eight or game eight, I don't see how I should expect all the things that I have been saying have been wrong for South Carolina in games 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Why would I believe that they will just all of the sudden change in week eight? There's no reason for me to believe that. Tigers don't change spots and Gamecocks don't change feathers, I guess, whatever.
Tigers have stripes.
Yeah, that's right. Leopards don't change spots. Tigers don't change stripes. And Gamecocks don't change feathers. But they did. Do any of you feel like the offense, I know you didn't, because the frustration that's been kicking in from Gamecock fans, who I've talked about since Saturday, the frustration that has been kicking in has largely been, yo, where TF was that the first seven games? Where was that? You would have beat Missouri with that. Offense, defense, you'd have beat Missouri. Honestly, I don't think you'd have beat Vanderbilt, but I think you would have won. I think you'd have beat Oklahoma if you played that game. You just didn't. So where was that? So I was wrong, Dewey. I was wrong in that I said, I don't see why this list of things that if you do what Rob Brown's telling you to do, you can at least make a game of it. But you haven't done them for seven games, so I'm not going to bet on you suddenly doing it in eight. They suddenly did it in eight. They just broke all this stuff out. I didn't have any reason to believe that they would. That's why I said there's no point in watching this game, because I assumed it was going to be another week of the Gamecocks running nose first into the wall, doing the same thing over and over, thinking, well, eventually I'll get to the other side. No, they didn't. This time they brought the jackhammer and the wrecking ball, and they knocked the wall down by doing the things that I said. If you want to keep it close, do these things. But I don't think you're going to do these things because you haven't done those things for seven games. Why do I think you're going to suddenly do those things in week eight? They finally did the things in week eight. Just like I said, it would be. The game was close because they did those things. I said it wouldn't be close because they wouldn't do the things. But then they did the things and it was close. The things I said will make the game close. You're welcome. You're welcome. Texas said Brian Kelly to Penn State, book it. See, I had a Penn State fan tell me that over the weekend, Texter. And my response to them was, why would you want James Franklin replaced by James Franklin, but he's a hole? Why would you want to replace James Franklin with James Franklin, but he sucks? Not as a coach, as a person, and also maybe a little as a coach. Why is that the trigger? If I'm Penn State, I don't know who I'm swinging for, but it ain't the guy who has not won a damn thing at the two most you should be able to win everything schools in college football. And I'm going to bring him to Penn State, where we ain't won anything in a dozen years. Nah, that ain't it. Finally, Texas said it's going to be interesting to see which job Nick Saban picks. We're going to talk about that later in the week, because Lonzo and I had a discussion about that last week, and then this week, and then over the weekend. We'll get to that, because that is a wild card that's in play. Would Nick come back? I don't think he would, but we'll talk about it later in the week and what impact that might have. When we come back, let's get some more NFL news and notes. Anything you want to get to, it is your day on a, well, actually Monday, here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Got a couple of stories out of the NFL I'd like to get to real quick. Both of them are sound clipped based. Let me start with this one. I got to give credit to Raheem Morris, the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Not for the game, obviously. They lost to the Dolphins. And I don't care if you were starting Kirk Cousins in his first start. And I don't care that you were missing Drake London, who has been kind of a breakout star for
him. Why was Kirk Cousins starting?
Michael Penix Jr. was dinged up, was the story
okay,
we got.
So it was not a benching?
No, it was not a benching. Michael Penix Jr. was dinged up, so they went with Kirk Cousins. Kirk was not good, not bad. He just kind of was, you know, quarterback getting his first start on the season. That's not what I'm giving credit to. What I want to give credit to Raheem Morris for is speed running every NFL head coaching cliche in one quick post-game interview. I mean, my dude hit every head coaching cliche in 2 minutes.
All right, I have a question for you because I didn't do this. In college, did you take any of the courses taught by coaches?
No, here's the thing. I think it's...
Because I'm guessing that that's where they learn this, that one of those classes, the sports something taught by the head coach of the football team or the basketball team, they're actually teaching this. That's what I think they're doing.
I will say this. I think that, you know how once a year we always land on the conversation about how every dude has an innate knowledge. It's never verbally spoken to us about the correct urinal to use. Like, it's just in there. We just know it. You go into the bathroom. There's five. If a guy's on the left, you go far right. If there's a guy in the middle, it's far left or far right. If there's a guy that is the second to the left, you go far right. If there's two guys and the only one that's open is, like, we know all the rules. Nobody ever teaches us that. It just kind of... combination of like seeing people do it / innate feeling. It's just what we do. I think it's kind of that. I don't think you have to get taught all the cliches. I think you just pick them up over time, and you learn that if I give all the cliches, I don't actually have to like answer or be accountable.
This is why I skip past the sideline interviews most of the time.
It's cliches.
Yeah, because that's all these coaches are saying.
And the only ones I don't are Kurt Cignetti, Lane Kiffin. That's it. That's the list. That's a list of sideline interviews that are worth listening to. Dan Lanning sometimes, which, by the way, the Grateful Dead game was freaking awesome. Speaking of football dudes, you know who is my favorite football dude right now? Carly Irsay Gordon. She is the daughter of Jim Irsay. She is now the de facto owner. Not de facto. She is one of the owners of the Indianapolis Colts. She is now the most hands-on owner of the Colts.
The female Jerry Jones.
So, no. And here's why. Here's why no. Carly Irsay Gordon has gotten known this year for something she has been doing for a very long time. But now that she is the owner and decision maker, obviously, it stands out. Carly Irsay Gordon is on the sideline of every Colts game. And she wears a headset, so she's listening to the communications between the coaches and the players. And she has her little notepad, and she stands there with a pen, and she writes, and she takes notes. And so after the Colts, who, by the way, still have the best record in the NFL, while the Colts were doing their thing again this weekend, and Carly Irsay Gordon was being asked questions after the game, because like every owner, she does post-game press conferences when called upon, she was asked, why? And she gave my favorite answer of any owner who has been hands-on when asked, why are you involved here? Totally good with it. Totally good with it. Because, to me, there is a difference between, because I Lonzo's not the first person I've heard, or in fact, I heard her referred to over the weekend as, and I quote, Lady Jerry Jones. I disagree wholeheartedly.
By the way, I don't have a problem with her being out there. I don't have a problem with Jerry Jones doing what he does. He owns the team. He can do whatever he wants. It's really cool that a video of her pops up like once every day of her doing that. And we'll see how much it helps her if she ever has to fire someone. Right now, things are looking awful good, so she don't have to worry about that.
So I actually not only don't have a problem, I actually approve of it. And here's why. When we say hands-on owners, obviously Jerry Jones comes to the front of the brain. Obviously, up until, I would argue, this year, David Tepper was in that mix. There are a few of them that jump off the page at you. I do not have an issue with an owner who is involved in the process. I have an issue with owners who are the process. There's a difference. Involved in the process, sure. Jerry's involved in the process. Jerry is the process. That's why he's the general manager. He is the process at this point. And you're right. Jerry Jones can do whatever the hell he wants with the Dallas Cowboys. It is his team. And as a non-Cowboys fan, go on, Jerry. Go on. Keep doing what you're doing, Big Daddy. I'm happy for you, Jerry. Glad you feel good about your life. I'm here for it. The difference is Jerry Jones looks around and he goes, look at me. I'm the football guy now. I'm the captain now. That's what Jerry does. What I think Carly Irsay Gordon is doing is saying, look, at the end of every month, I got to strike a check to everybody in this building. I'm the one who pays millions of dollars to make sure that everything's going right. She didn't say, I want to have the headset on so I can overturn a decision, so I can tell, you know, the offensive coordinator, I don't like that call, change it up. I don't have a headset on so that I can go down to practice with a play I drew up on a cocktail napkin and said, you will run this play this weekend because I want to see what it looks like. I'm not any of that. I just want to be able to say, hey, I've been listening to you. And when we have our end of week or end of month or end of year conversations with owners, or excuse me, with general managers, with head coaches, with players, with quarterbacks, whatever, I can say, hey, I listen every game. I think you're full of crap. I think you're full of crap. She didn't say, I have the headset on so I can get directly involved. She said, I have the headset on so I can tell when people who are involved are full of crap. And I think that's great. There is a difference between, and we can draw a direct comparison, in this case, an exact direct comparison to the great one and I. I have worked with bosses who never listened to the show. They just didn't listen to the show. And we never got feedback from them. I have worked with bosses who didn't just listen to the show. But every day, they would come into the office, into the studio during the show, and they would say, I want you to do this next. I want you to talk about this next. I want you to make this your next subject. And I have worked, as I do now, for bosses who listen to the show, and they give feedback, and they say, here's what I think you can work on, and here's what I think you're doing great, and whatever. And they help you shape the product overall. I think that's Carly.
And it's really more about tweaking what you're already doing more so than I want you to talk about this.
I think it's that.
Yeah.
I also think it is to some degree accountability, right? Because if he says, hey, we want you to focus more on this, that he's listening to make sure that when I go in there and he says, did you focus more on this? And I say no or yes, I'm telling the truth. I'm not full of crap. There is a difference between I am listening in so I can be part of the process versus I am the process. David Tepper for years was the process. And he hired general managers, Scott Fitterer, who were yes men so that he could stay the process. And anybody who tried to go against the process would get rattled, tattletailed on. Jerry Jones doesn't even hire yes men. He just made himself his own yes man. He is the process. There is a difference between owner who is the process and owner who is part of the process. I think this is great from Carly Ersay-Gordon. I think it's great. I think she's handling it exactly the right way. I'm involved. I'm there. I'm listening. But I'm not going to go hands-on to the standpoint of making football decisions. I'm going to let the football dudes make the football decisions. And if the football dudes make bad football decisions because I'm listening and paying attention, I'll get it. Let me give you one more clip before we run to the break, if you don't mind, mainly because I want to be able to put this one to bed. The most phallically named man in the NFL, Woody Johnson, last week had some words about his quarterback, Justin Fields. In fact, blamed the Jets' failure on him. And that is where American hero Alex Smith stepped onto the television stage this weekend. Beautiful. Thank you, Alex. Thank you. And again, to go back to what we were talking about a minute ago, because Joey B just said the same thing. I love this with one caveat. Her microphone stays off because that's the line between this and ownership meddling. Exactly. You know what I haven't heard one time out of Carly Ersay-Gordon? I haven't heard her thoughts on Danny Dimes. I haven't. And granted, it's probably easier when you're owner and your team's 7-1 than it is when you're 3-4 and out of a playoff spot. But I haven't heard her thoughts on Steichen or Danny Dimes or Anthony Richardson or Jonathan Taylor or the offensive or defensive lines. I've heard none of that. She's been, I'm listening, I'm hands-on, I'm taking notice, I'm paying attention, and at the end of the year, I will make sure that what people are telling me in the office is the same as what I was seeing on Sundays on the football field. Woody Johnson, on the other hand, puts his grubby little fingers into everything because, much like Jerry Jones, he's the smartest guy in every room. He was born on third base thinking he hit a triple, and because of that, he's better than everybody. And the result is the Jets have stunk forever, and then he's going to go blame it on their 26-year-old quarterback who just got there. That's the spot. Don't get me wrong. Justin Fields has not been the guy I had hoped he was going to be this year. But also, how much of that has to go with the Jets stink? Top to bottom, left to right, up and down, back and forth. They suck. And it all circles back to him. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Thanks to John Blau for joining us an hour ago. If you missed that, it was in the 8:40 segment. Third hour of the show. That'll be posted right after the show is over. We talked to John about the Clemson bye week. Quiet bye week. Brought this up to John. I said, look, man, I didn't really hear a lot. And it's a weird time. It's a weird bye week to not hear much about the Clemson Tigers because you don't know who the starting quarterback is this weekend against the Duke Blue Devils. And as mentioned, brought this up to John Blau. This is a Duke Blue Devil team that ain't bad, Chief. It ain't bad. They're 3-1 in conference. They're 4-3 overall. Two of the three losses were to number 11 Illinois, who, again, dropped another one since, got hammered in another one since then. But Illinois, top 11 team, and to number 12 Georgia Tech, who is now top 8 Georgia Tech and hasn't lost a game. The only dumb loss they had was at Tulane. And A, that was at Tulane, and B, Tulane is a team that is really interesting. Now, they've probably done enough damage at this point that I do wonder if Tulane, who probably 2-3 weeks ago, you're like, okay, maybe that's a playoff team. They still only have one loss, and that loss was on the road at Ole Miss. Now, granted, outside of Duke, they haven't really played anybody else, but they played some power teams, and they've had one loss. Point is, it's a bad loss for Duke, but it's like, of losses to G5 teams, it ain't close to the worst of the G5 losses so far. So, in a week where you've got Darian Mensah, who is quarterbacking a three-loss team, two of which were to top 11 teams, one of which was to one of the best, maybe two or three G5 teams out there, and for a team that has beaten, on the road at Cal, 45-21. On the road at Syracuse, 38-3. Against NC State, 45-33. Like, they played three power games, and they've dominated those three power games outside of the two that they lost to top 11 teams. This Duke team's good. They've got numbers in them. And so in a week where we on Monday don't know who the starting quarterback is on Saturday, I would have thought there would have been some news, there would have been some notes, there would have been some stuff coming up out of Clemson, South Carolina. Wildly quiet week on the bye week. And John Blau pointed out the same thing. He said, you know, we kind of thought we'd hear something about Cade, kind of thought we'd hear something about Vezina, kind of thought we'd hear something about the defense. He said, we didn't even hear a conversation out of Tom Allen, which is unusual. So anyway, if you missed that interview, it'll be posted right after the show is over. Couple of other stories we did not get to very quickly. The NCAA now owes a former college football player and his wife $18 million. And a decision that was made right up the road in Orangeburg, South Carolina, a jury found the NCAA was negligent in failing to warn players about the long-term effects of concussions. There was a civil trial that wrapped up late last week. In that trial, Orangeburg County jurors awarded $10 million to 68-year-old Robert Gaithers, who played at South Carolina State University from 1977 to 1980 as a defensive end. His wife, Deborah, was awarded $8 million, according to a court document. A physician diagnosed Robert Gaithers with dementia several years ago, according to multiple outlets, and Gaithers now has trouble with day-to-day tasks such as dressing himself and helping to make meals. Other physicians who testified at the trial said Gaithers displays symptoms of chronic traumatic CTE. He's got CTE. It is a degenerative brain disease found in former football players who received repeated blows to the head while playing. However, CTE, as of today, CTE cannot be diagnosed until the individual is deceased. So we can say we have symptoms of CTE, but you can't definitively say this person has CTE. So all you can do is say there's a bunch of symptoms of it. And apparently these physicians made an argument that enough symptoms are seen that it is presumptive that he has CTE, and CTE can lead to dementia and other mental issues later on down the line. Gaither's attorney Bakari Sellers alleged the NCAA knew about concussion risk since the 1930s, but did not tell coaches or players about those risks until later, after Gaither's career was over. Sellers told jurors, quote, all of the information they knew they withheld, and added that they kept that information, quote, because their job was to keep the boys safe, end quote. The verdict can and will, according to the NCAA via a spokesperson, be appealed. The NCAA said Saturday that it disagreed with the verdict and that it was, quote, prepared to pursue our rights on post-trial motions and on appeal if necessary. Johnson said the NCAA has prevailed in every other jury trial around the country on these issues, and that the South Carolina State team, quote, followed the knowledge that existed at the time, and college football did not cause Mr. Gaither's lifelong health problems, end quote. NCAA trial attorney Andy Fletcher said at the trial that Robert Gaithers has several health conditions that influence dementia-like systems, symptoms, and that the NCAA's football rules committee is composed of representatives of member schools that could propose rules. He said, quote, there's going to be head hits. That's inherent to the game. You can't take head hits out of football, end quote. That was part of the closing arguments from the defense side of this. Look, I'm very interested to see what this appeal says. I'm interested to see what this appeal says, because if the NCAA wins on appeal, okay, that is going to be some level of precedent, at least in this state. We'll see if that happens state to state to state to state. If the appeal is overturned, and if it is decided that the NCAA owes Robert Gaithers $10 million and his wife $8 million, 18 on the hook total, it is going to open up a floodgate of former players, specifically those who are clearly and have been diagnosed with dementia and other mental illnesses later in life, that are connected to CTE. If they lose this appeal, effectively what it is saying is that at least one jury here in South Carolina says it has been proven beyond a doubt that the NCAA at the time, this is in 1977, at the time knew that concussions and head injuries sustained playing football were indeed a lifelong danger, and did not tell that to players. And if they approve $18 million to a player in 1977, do you think there weren't a handful of players from before that? And there won't be a handful of players from 1977 until what? 10 years ago? 8 years ago? That are going to come out of the woodworks going, yeah. Yeah, me too, bud. Me too. I could use about $18 million. I could use 10 and my wife 8 because she's got to take care of me now. Of course that's going to happen. And as much as we've talked about NIL, as much as we talked about rev share, all of that money, as I have said, all that money's there. It's already in a budget. It's just it's always gone to other places, and now it's got to go to the players. There's not what could be hundreds of millions of dollars in lawsuits against the NCAA. That money doesn't exist. That money's not in the budget from the NCAA or anybody else. You were talking about years of the entire TV contract of the college football playoff to pay off what could be an avalanche of CTE lawsuits against the NCAA if this appeal does not play out. So that'll be interesting. That'll be interesting. Hey, real quick before we go to what the X is going on, because Ross Dellinger just posted something very funny, and we will talk about this tomorrow. Apparently, during Saturday's loss to Texas A&M, and this is from Ross Dellinger posted on yahoosports.com. Apparently, LSU school officials were making the rounds in luxury box seats at the game on Saturday, asking boosters, would you be willing to make a donation to the Fire Brian Kelly buyout fund?
Did they have a box, or did they have that handheld thing where you just tap your card?
Maybe. I don't know, man.
They're walking around with that. Oh, the chip didn't work here. Just insert it.
Apparently, there was some... here we go. Apparently, on Sunday, they were having the conversations, and there were discussions as high as at the governor's mansion about whether or not they could fire Brian Kelly, and apparently at least some athletic department staff was going around Saturday asking boosters at the game, do you want to throw a few bucks into the pot to fire Brian Kelly tomorrow? And they did it, which means that at least some people said, yeah, yeah, I paid for a box, but here's another hundy to the Get Brian Kelly's Ass Out of Baton Rouge Fund. I love college football. It is the dumbest thing in the world that I love this much.
All right, quite a few things here. Let's see how many we can get to. The first thing that's Xing is Austin Reeves.
Austin Reeves is Xing because in spite of the fact that there was no LeBron James and no Luka Doncic, Austin Reeves said, y'all don't need them jokers. You got me. Austin Reeves went off for a career-high 51 points in a win over Sacramento.
Also, 11 rebounds, 9 assists, and six triples, six threes.
Austin Reeves, noted NBA icon.
That's our guy. We like
love
we like
that guy.
Austin Reeves.
All love right. that guy. Bulldog.
The next thing is Xing is Chris Jericho.
Jericho is Xing. I don't know if something happened that is specifically why, but Jericho is Xing because, I assume, there was a WWE vignette that was aired on their social media channel on Saturday. I didn't see any more from the weekend, but there was one where it just showed a guy in suit pants and shoes. It just showed the shoes walking,
now,
and then it cut.
Now there's one with jeans.
Ah.
And so there's people are speculating on who it is.
Yeah.
That first one, that's Gunther.
That was my thought, too.
Yeah, we've seen him firsthand. That's Gunther.
Yeah.
But this latest one kind of looks like Jericho. So who knows, maybe multiple returns. People are also speculating it's some sort of faction.
Yeah, I'm going with it's not Jericho, primarily because he is still, as far as I know, under contract with AEW.
I'm not so sure about that.
I believe that he is. Not for much longer, but long enough that he probably is in a spot where he... Now, they could just film a vignette and not say who it is, and then later be like, oh, it totally was Jericho. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't think it's the same guy in each of the videos. So
I agree, but I would also say it's real dumb if you're WWE, because if you do that and you tease him, and then Tony goes to him and goes, tell you what, Jay, we'll give you $2 million more to stay with us, and Jericho goes, yeah, that's worth it. I'll finish my run here.
Right, that's the thing. You film several different ones. You never have to.
Yeah.
Whoever you say it is, that's who it is.
Yep.
All right, the next thing that's Xing is Dave Canales.
Dave Canales Xing because the Carolina Panthers got their asses whipped yesterday, and it was not good. No Bryce Young, and the offense just went absolutely to dog crap yesterday, and so there's a bunch of thoughts now that Dave Canales, who, by the way, his odds to be the next coach fired creeped up over the weekend. Not dramatically, but enough to notice.
All right. From what I can tell, the major reason why he's Xing is because he didn't play Rico Dowdle.
12 carries for Chuba Hubbard, 8 for Rico Dowdle. Here's the thing.
He's had to defend why he's doing it.
Yeah, I will. As much as I think this game was an abject failure, I will defend it. Yes, Rico should have had more carries than Chuba Hubbard, but the Bills defense was keyed in on Rico Dowdle. It was obvious to see that. And number two, you got behind so fast, so early. If you wanted any chance to make anything happen, even without BY, you had to throw the football. Like, it sucks, but that's football.
I don't know. You probably, with the way Andy Dalton was playing, handing the ball off to Rico Dowdle was probably your best move.
I mean, I get it, but at the same time, like, you are now talking about you're down 24 and you're grinding up the clock more than Buffalo. You're doing their job for them.
All right.
That just is what it is.
The next thing that's Xing is Myles Garrett.
Myles Garrett Xing because, Miles, I don't feel bad for you. Yeah, threw a tantrum on the sideline, throwing his helmet around, stomping around, like clearly wants out of Cleveland, except for Miles.
You just signed the biggest contract in NFL history, non-quarterback, to stay in Cleveland.
Screw you, buddy. Like, you signed the contract. You know I'm player empowerment all the time, and there have been plenty of guys under contract that I go, let that guy go, let my people go. This ain't it, Miles. You just signed the longest contract ever. You know this team was going to stink. You decided to stay on it. You're making $40 million to play this year. No one feels bad for you, Miles.
And finally, the last thing that is Xing is Nick Mangold.
Yes, Nick Mangold, I would say legendary offensive lineman for the New York Football Jets. He was a fun, like, that dude was fun to watch. You know what he was?
He also played for Ohio State. So,
sure did. Yeah. He was Kyle Turley without the crazy. I love Nick Mangold. He's fun to go up. Passing away at, I believe, 44?
I think he's 41.
Or 41 years of age because of a fast-progressing kidney disease that he was fighting from. Went from like a week ago asking for a kidney donation to passing away over the weekend. I will say this. I wasn't going to necessarily play it or anything. Did you see Rex Ryan reacting to it? Rex broke. He was on air when they found out, and he broke. That's how you know that Nick Mangold was a dude.
This is one of those guys that everyone seemed to like.
Yeah.
And he was also a great player, too, on top of that.
When you could play that absolute menace to society across the offensive line, and people still feel this way about you, like, that's a dude, man. That's a dude. R.I.P. Nick Mangold, a legend. Coming up tomorrow on the show, we got a lot more we're going to get to, a lot more NFL breakdown, some more college reaction, and more. He's Lonzo. I'm Rob. Have a great rest of your day. See you back here tomorrow on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later!
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.